For the ones who get it done, the most important part is the one you need now. And the best partner is the one who can deliver. That's why millions of maintenance and repair pros trust Grainger, because we have professional-grade supplies for every industry, even hard-to-find products. And we have same-day pickup and next-day delivery on most orders. But most importantly, we have an unwavering commitment to help keep you up and running. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news medias don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 13th day, Wednesday of December. Wow, is this year going by so fast. And indeed, this is the voice of the Christian resistance. And tonight, this is Wendy Wednesday, and so I'm going to go with our producer first, the mighty Kyle. Hey, Kyle.
Hey, Pastor. Good to be with you, as always.
Good to have you here, and Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas to you, too, Pastor.
And then we're going to go to, like, Wendy. She's like a rose amongst the thorns here tonight. Hey, Wendy.
Good evening, Pastor.
Wendy, you better speak up. Where's Wendy?
Oh, I'm speaking. Can you hear me?
Wendy?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Oh, well, good evening.
Well, good evening. Alrighty. And now we're going to go out there to the Missouri legend. Okay. Hello, Pastor Joe.
Merry Christmas, one and all, and good evening, Wendy.
Alrighty.
Good evening, Pastor Joe.
Well, we have a lot to talk about tonight, so we really got to jump into it. Because we have a lot more material than we have time tonight. So let's get right to it. Joe, do you remember the title of the message?
Dull of hearing, void of understanding, and in need of repentance.
And so we're going to pick it up on the last part of that tonight. So let's go to, we're going to start in Isaiah chapter 3 and verse 1. Oh, well, Joe, we'll take it a verse or two at a time because there's a lot here, okay?
All right.
And Wendy, you jump in, and Kyle, if you want to jump in and comment too, because you guys might be smarter than Joe and I. We know Wendy's prettier than us, but is she smarter than us? We'll find out. Okay. So let's go with verse 1. For behold, the Lord of hosts, doth take away from Jerusalem and from Judah the stay and the staff and the whole stay of bread and the whole stay of water. So what do you think he's saying here? He's saying, what is the Lord going to do?
Sounds like
take away.
Go
ahead, Wendy.
No, I was just saying, it sounds like they're going to not have any water and their crops are going to dry up.
Well, it's punishment for disobedience to their. So he's going to take away their food. He's going to take away their water. And he's going to, along with that, he's going to take away all their necessities. You know, there are things, you know, that are necessities besides food and water. I mean, you don't do good without any clothes, especially in cold weather, huh?
Right.
Clothes, what about shoes? Are they a necessity?
Yeah.
So all of that stuff. But what about stuff that you store up for bad weather, or you store up for, you know, hard times? Those are all necessities, and he's going to take them away. Do you know why? For their disobedience. So he's sending a message here, isn't he? Joe, read 2 and 3.
The mighty man and the man of war, the judge and the prophet and the prudent and the ancient, the captain of 50 and the honorable man and the counselor and the cunning artificer and the eloquent orator.
Yeah, that eloquent orator, that's an interesting because, he's talking there when he's referring to that as someone who's very, well, cunning and crafty there, that eloquent orator. So now, here, he's saying he's going to dismantle all of their government structure. And then, now read the next verse. Read the next, just verse 4.
And I will give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them.
Now, here the word children is used. It means adolescence. It means an actual child. Now, I mean, you see, like, if you're, are you your parents' children, even if you're 20 years old?
Yeah.
You're still their children. But here it's not actually talking about older. It's talking about actual adolescence. And this happened right away. This was fulfilled very quickly after saying this prophecy here. There was a guy named Manasseh. But now Manasseh was more wicked than anybody before him. And he was made to be a king when he was only at the age of 12 years old.
12 years old, yeah.
And he was a wicked king. He was like these kids you see out there on the street carjacking or robbing and beating old people. He was a wicked king, okay, very wicked king. And so he's the one that had Isaiah, the prophet, sawed in half. And so go ahead. And the people shall be oppressed, every one by another and every one by his neighbor. The child shall behave himself proudly against the ancient, and the base against the honorable. Now, do we see that today in America? Do we see our young people being disrespectful? What's taking place right now on college campuses all over the country?
Rioting, hate, calling for, you know, they're crying out that from the river to the sea, you know, which is means, you know, the Israelis need to be wiped off the map there and driven away totally. And you just see all kinds of violence, hate, anger. It's incredible.
All right. Now, these same college kids and university kids that are wanting to kill off the Jews, there's another group of people that they're saying they want to get rid of, too. And that is who?
Christians.
Old white Christian men, white Christian men. Right. You hear this over and over. In fact, we just had a situation where I confronted one of my old friends. I confronted because I went by his house, and he had in his yard a sign that said, vote yes on issue one, which is a horrible, horrible bill, which, I mean, just anti-God, anti-parent, anti-life, you name it, pro-pedophile, pro-sodomite, okay. And so I confronted him. I said, what in the world? Have you lost your mind? And he said, no. It was his daughter says that she doesn't want old white Christian men telling her what she can do with her reproductive rights. And she was the one that put the sign out in the yard. And that is becoming more and more prevalent out there today. And then so he goes on. Go ahead.
Sir.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Did you notice that it was his house, which means he's no longer in control of his house, his children? That sign would not go up in your house, your yard, or my yard. I don't care who put it there.
No, it would not. Not at all.
Would not happen, right?
Yeah. Right. And, you know, and I led his wife to the Lord on her deathbed. On her deathbed, she asked if I would come and see her. And I went over and I visited her. and she said the sinner's prayer and accepted the Lord before she died. And, you know, she grew up within that society of public educators, those very same people, like those three pompous presidents of those universities, Harvard and Penn, and you know, these women are wicked women. They're just very pompous, wicked, and that's the type of environment you have out there. It's all, you know, these Democrats out there today, the upper class. It goes ahead and said, "And the people shall be oppressed, every one by another, and every one by his neighbor. The child shall behave himself proudly against the ancient, and the base against the honorable. Now when a man shall take hold of his brother of the house of his father, saying, Thou hast clothing, be thou a ruler, and let thy ruin be under thy hand." What do you think that's all about?
I don't know.
Well, he's saying, look, that the poverty is going to be so great that we need leaders. We need someone to lead us, someone to organize. And you have clothes. You have clothes to wear. At least you look better. You're better off than the rest of us out here, even though, you know, you might not have much, but you have more than us. So therefore, you should be our ruler. Somehow you've managed to keep more than we have. But his response is in verse 7. Go ahead, Joe.
"In that day shall he swear, saying, I will not be a healer, for in my house is neither bread nor clothing. Make me not a ruler of the people."
And so what is he? He's telling them, look, I'm not the cure for all your ills. I'm not. Believe me, I can barely take care and manage my own self here.
Yeah.
And so he goes on to say in verse 8, go ahead and read verse 8.
"For Jerusalem is ruined, and Judah is fallen, because their tongue and their doings are against the Lord to provoke the eyes of his glory."
Okay. Well, that means they've done what? They've rebelled, and they've done what America is doing, mocking, you know, the word of God. And you know, I've never seen, you know, I never would believe in my lifetime when I was young that I would see the way they take the Bible and totally misrepresent the word of God. How they try to justify what God's word, the Bible, clearly calls sin. They try to justify it, and then what God's word, the Bible, clearly calls honor, they dishonor it, okay? And so here now, read verse 9.
"The show of their countenance doth witness against them, and they declare their sin as Sodom, and they hide it not. Woe unto their soul, for they have rewarded evil unto themselves."
Okay, so he's not saying that their sin is Sodom. What he's saying is that in Sodom and Gomorrah, was there any repentance for their sin?
None.
No,
I mean,
it was obvious what the sin was, and isn't he saying the same thing? They're not hiding their sins, or a multitude of sins, and they're not hiding them.
Just like they were in Sodom and Gomorrah, they were blatant about it. And the people here were blatant about their sins, too, okay? Hey, listen, God's not mocked. See, people get the wrong idea. Somehow they look around and they say, well, I can't see God, therefore God must not see me. Don't work that way. No, it doesn't, okay? He goes on to say, go ahead and read verse 10 and 11.
"Say ye to the righteous that it shall be well with him, for they shall eat the fruit of their doing. Woe unto the wicked, it shall be ill with him, for the reward of his hand shall be given him."
Okay, so now verse 10 is a reminder to us to stay the course. He's telling us, stay the course. Okay, now, verse 11, "Woe unto the wicked that shall be ill with him, for the reward of his hand shall be given him." Okay, and so what it means, shall be given him, means done to him. It means the wickedness and the evil that he has done is going to be done to him. That's what he's telling him here.
Thrown back. Can I ask a question? Back in number 7, where they're asking that guy to be the, you know, leader. And he says, I will not. Wouldn't it be like some people today that they look around, they're in a city, like one of the cities with the rioting and everything else, and nobody wants to stand up and try and take over the police department because the city council's against them, the liberals are against them. Nobody in their right mind wants to take certain jobs. They don't want to be a policeman. No, I'm not going to be a cop in Detroit or Philly or San Francisco. No, I don't want to be an assistant DA because I can't prosecute people. I can't do my job. Isn't that kind of the same thing there?
Well, that all applies, absolutely. But basically what he's saying is, I'm not going to rule the people. I know these people, and I'm not going to try to rule the people that refuse to be ruled. Okay?
Uh-huh.
So they're going to,
they're asking.
Right. They're asking me. Okay, now look, being a pastor for 50 years, you come across a lot of people in that time, and they'll come to you, and, there's problems here with these people. There's problems in this here in this church, and there's problems here and there where they work, and they find problems with everybody but themselves, okay? So there comes a time that, look, you have to realize, look, maybe I'm a part of this problem here, okay? And, look, maybe I'll be willing, okay, to get in line and listen to try to solve this problem. But people that refuse to do it say, I'm right, you're wrong, that's the end of it. And this is what so many of these people are like out there. And so he is telling them, look, I know you folks, right? You got no intention. You got no intention on listening to me if I'm telling you you need to do something you don't want to do. And so, but here, we're going to stop at the next verse, because the next verse is the key verse in this whole chapter here. So now he uses the word children again, but in this verse, these aren't adolescents. These are incompetent people. Give me some examples of how we have some very incompetent people. The guy that's in charge of disposing of our nuclear waste.
Okay. Yeah, I can't remember the name, but I never will forget his face with the bald head and the lipstick and the dress. Yes, going to work.
Here's a guy that wears a dress, he's got a bald head, wears lipstick, and he runs through airports stealing women's luggage. And Biden put him in charge, okay, of disposing of our nuclear waste. I wish he'd just take it all to the White House and dump it there, okay? What about the guy that's supposed to be the attorney general or no surgeon general, the transvestite? No, they.
The general. Can't think of the name. Yeah, it is such a joke.
It is pathetic.
He's calling himself general, and he's not a general.
No, he wears a uniform now with the stars on it. What about within the Democratic Party themselves? There's kind of a panic because they see that old Joe is probably not going to, he might not even make it to the end of his term. And if something happens, so he gets impeached, gets removed, dies, or whatever, who do we have for the president?
Kamala or Camellia or whatever they want.
Camel hair, okay.
Camel hair, yeah.
And so how confident, Wendy, are you of that woman?
How am I? I'm not confident in her? No, I'm not.
I'm just amazed. You know, have you ever seen her rendition of the school bus, the yellow school bus?
No.
It goes kind of like this. I'm watching it. I'm just amazed. I was thoroughly entertained. She goes, a school bus. A yellow school bus. A yellow school bus. Who does not love a yellow school bus? I love a yellow school bus. Don't you love a yellow school bus? I'm thinking that's deep. That is really deep. This woman's got something, boy. Okay.
Well, but what it means is the wheels of the bus are not going round and round. They're doing it in her head.
I thought, man, that was amazing. So now, verse 12. Okay, here we go. Now, you know, I've had pastors tell me, you know, Brother Sanders, I agree with everything you just said, but I'm going to tell you, sir, it takes more guts. What you just said takes more guts than I have to say it. I would never preach that to my congregation because I would offend too many people. And he was specifically talking about the sin of abortion. He was saying that this was a guy who had a large Presbyterian church. He said, I would offend so many women if I preached about the sin of abortion. And I looked him in the eye, and I said these immortal words. I said, dummy, do you think maybe if you'd been preaching against that horrible sin, it wouldn't be so prevalent in your congregation? And he said to me, I never thought of that. Well, I thought of that. Now here...
All he thought of, if I may intercede, because I've seen this many, many times before, they're afraid that they would lose their job, be fired, be kicked out because their board, their church board, whatever. I was raising funds for a pregnancy maternity home and crisis pregnancy center, and I was amazed to find out how many churches had on their mission list they were giving money to planned predators. And the pastors were okay with that. They were afraid to say because they would lose their jobs.
Yeah.
So it was fear keeping them from preaching the gospel. They didn't start out doing it. They got a nice cushy job and then decided, oops, I can't tell the truth here. And they just became a hireling. That's what it was. They're no longer pastors. They were just hirelings.
So he goes in verse 12, Joe, as for my people, children are their oppressors and women rule over them. O my people, they which lead thee cause thee to err and destroy the way of thy path. So did he give them women and incompetent people as rulers for doing good or for being disobedient?
For being disobedient. I know a church not too far from where I am where the person that runs the church is a certain woman and her daughter, and the two of them, whatever they say, they run the church, and everybody's terrified of them. And they don't even want me to come anywhere near their church because I speak up, so I'm a person of non grata there. But I've seen that other places where it's the women that run the church decide who they're going to have for a pastor, what's going to be sung, what's going to be done, how things are going to be preached. And I see a lot of that today.
Has God ever called a woman to be the pastor of a church and teach men?
No.
Okay,
no,
so now
never.
Let me ask you this. When it comes to attacks by the enemy, the enemy attacks men in the area of pride. Now, I'm talking about corporately. I'm not talking about every single individual because we're different,
right.
But corporately, he attacks men in the area of pride and women in the area of what?
Discernment.
And so here now, let me ask you a question. And Wendy's here, and she's a real smart lady, so she should know the answer to this. Here, who are more likely to vote for a Democrat, men or women?
Women.
Okay. Who are more likely to attend college today and become lawyers and judges today?
Women.
Okay. Okay. Who are more likely to succumb to the indoctrination of LGBTQ?
Women.
Who are more likely to accept transgender surgery?
Women, I guess, yeah.
By far, who is more likely to accept abortion?
Women are.
Okay, those three pompous university presidents who just unbelievably tried to justify killing of the Jews, the murder of the Jews, were all women. Now, do you think that God has given us here in America these women for being obedient, or has he given us women rulers for being? And look at what's happening now in all of the media. Tonight on Jesse Waters' program, you had that young woman. Joe, who did she want to be president?
I didn't get to see Jesse tonight.
Okay, Taylor Swift.
Oh, that's right. You talked about it. Taylor Swift, the entertainer, the singer-entertainer.
Now, who was it? There was that former actor that was there, that, and I can't remember his name, but he was out there, and he was saying that we should let women rule the world. Okay, now this come out of Hollywood. Is there anything good come out of Hollywood?
Somebody feral.
Right.
Feral,
yeah. And so here, let's go back. Remember those immortal words of Forrest Gump? Stupid is as stupid does.
As stupid does.
And boy, do we see that through our society today. And we'll be right back after this.
Welcome to God's world.
To God's world.
Won't you come on in?
Come on in.
Miracles start here.
Miracles start here.
He'll take away your sin.
Take away your sin.
Open up your heart.
Leave them all behind.
You'll be living there.
You'll be living there.
Until the end of time.
Till the end of time.
And his door will open. Seek, and you will find. Ask, and you'll be given. Eternal life, sublime. He'll be waiting there.
He'll be waiting.
His arms open wide.
His arms open wide.
Waiting there for you.
Waiting there for you.
You are why he died.
Why he died.
He'll be waiting there.
He'll be waiting there.
His arms open wide.
His arms open wide.
Waiting there for you.
Waiting there for you.
It was for you and I that he was crucified.
All righty, we are back. And folks, listen. We were talking about women. Boy, we have a lot of women out there, but not all of them are ladies. Now, Joe, you and I, we were blessed. We married ladies, and there's a big difference between, learning from just women and ladies. Now, Wendy is a lady, and we've learned a lot, you and I both, from her.
Sure have.
But I think I probably learned more than you, Joe.
Probably.
Anyhow, she's gonna teach us a lot of good stuff here tonight. But before she does, I wanted to tell folks, what could you give better besides the Word of God for a Christmas present than good natural medicine that God gave us? Medicine that God gave us. I'm not talking about the stuff you get in a drugstore. I'm talking about something far, far superior. Okay. And that is, well, that is all natural herbs. And where can you get the best you can get? Right there from Apothecary Herbs. And so you can go on the internet to thepowerherbs.com, thepowerherb.com, or you could go and call 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. Wendy, sometimes we have you on here, we'll do a whole program, and we'll forget to either, you know, to give that information out, and people really need it because, wow, what I've got all your herbs, and they work, and that's why I'm still here and kicking after all these years.
Oh, that's so sweet. The guy gets all the credit. They're his herbs.
Yep. Anyhow, tell us about what you're up to. What's happening?
Well, you guys have been in the news, your state anyway, with cases of walk-in pneumonia. Have you known that? You've heard that, right?
Oh yeah. Yep. That's happened a lot here now.
Yeah. So I thought we'd tap into that topic for just a brief moment here, because a lot of news reports are saying pneumonia cases, walking pneumonia cases are on the rise. Actually, they're being described in your state and in Connecticut as a surge. So you'll be hearing other names. They describe it, the condition, as mycoplasma pneumonia or white lung. Have you heard that?
No.
Okay. I've heard white lung being kicked around, yes.
Yeah, so these
I didn't know
these
what
names,
it was.
Right, and so these names may give people the impression that some new form of pneumonia that they should be really concerned about, but medicine is telling us it's not a new form of pneumonia. So what is walking pneumonia? Well, the American Lung Association describes it as, walking pneumonia is a non-medical term for a mild case of pneumonia. A more medically correct term would be atypical pneumonia, and it can be caused by certain molds, viruses, or bacteria, often a common bacterium called mycoplasma pneumonia. So according to our infectious disease specialist, fastest way to infect a person is through the pulmonary, through your lungs. So listening to our news, these outlets are saying states are reporting a lot of cases in Ohio and Massachusetts. However, other countries are also reporting cases, China and Denmark. And I want to be clear, pneumonia is a bacterial infection, but the disease called mycoplasma pneumonia produces mild respiratory infection. However, if it's not addressed properly, and that would mean with proper rest and some nutrition, the infection can become more serious. So modern medicine has no drug treatment for walking pneumonia. And in Ohio, the health district of Warren County is reporting 145 children ages 3 to 14 that had been taken ill. Here is what the pediatrics in Massachusetts, John Kelly, MD, says. There are no medications to give to cure walking viral pneumonia. Once you have it, it's all about supportive care. So now if you got a bacterial infection and they can confirm it's a bacterial infection, then they'd give you an antibiotic. But because mycoplasma infection usually resolves on its own, antibiotic treatment usually is not always necessary, according to New York State Department of Health. So Forbes chimed in, and they said there are no vaccines to prevent mycoplasma infection, but in severe cases it can be treated with antibiotics if it becomes bacterial pneumonia. Also, Vanderbilt University, Dr. Buddy Cheech says, the frontline antibiotics that treat most kinds of pneumonia don't work for mycoplasma infection, end of quote. So you mentioned white lung, and the disease described as white lung is really a mycoplasma pneumonia. White lung is a nickname science has given this pneumonia due to the white patches that appear on the lungs during a chest x-ray. Now, streptococcus, endoviruses are also can cause pneumonia, and we're told that cases started in the summer and then picked up in children and young adults in October and November. Respiratory syncytium virus, or RSV, now this is being batted around by doctors too lately, is really also another name for viruses combined with walking pneumonia, now circulating a lot in western Massachusetts. Now, typically, antibiotics are not effective. They aren't given Dr. John Kelly says viral pneumonia can mimic the flu, so you may even get misdiagnosed. He says a way to tell that you have a pulmonary issue is to check for shallow or fast breathing, struggling to breathe, any suction contraction around the rib cage when you breathe, and also a spike in fever. Now, the White House says, get this, Pastor, the increase in pneumonia cases is not linked to a new or novel respiratory illness, but rather a spike in normal pediatric cases. As stated, the outbreak isn't related to any other outbreak statewide, nationally, or globally. But we already know other countries are having the same problem.
Exactly. I was just going to ask you, that I saw a big article on China, and they were talking about the white lung, and they were talking, well, it sounded just like the symptoms of walking pneumonia. They had gazillions of children. The hospitals were overloaded with children, it sounded like, with the, what you were talking about, walking pneumonia. And the buildup was all a new strain of the COVID virus, and it's mutating and blah, blah. And it sounded just exactly like what you've diagnosed as walking pneumonia and pneumonia. And when you said it's happening worldwide, well, the World Health Organization, the Chinese, everybody's trying to use this as a scare for COVID.
Well, possibly. And remember, you know, they're saying that these cases started picking up, you know, October, November. And what's happening during these fall holidays, people are traveling. And what is the most contaminated, infectious surface on an airplane, Pastor Joe?
On an airplane, a folding tray in front of you?
That's it. That's it. Exactly. Because you have to fold that tray up to depart from the plane, and the cleaning
right.
crews have 10 minutes to clean that plane before it's reboarded, and they only get to vacuum the floor, clean the seats, and kind of wipe down the toilets, and then they're out of there.
Yeah.
So they don't clean, every tray in front of every seat on that plane. And so it's sort of like that nasty curtain between beds in the hospital. They never clean that either. So let's
and then
the
also you just have all these people together in crowds and lines standing near to people, so you have a lot
sure.
of person-to-person contact, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so viruses can survive for a short time on a surface. So, you know, shopping carts, gas pumps, you know, countertops, you know, at, you know, where you're getting served, maybe takeout. You know, this is where you're going to pick stuff up. Now,
door
pneumonia.
Handles. Would that be a
yeah,
place?
Yeah, door handles. Yeah, exactly. Now, symptoms, let's look at those. Pneumonia is typical to see spreading during your flu season, and a bout of pneumonia can last a week to a month. Here are the symptoms. Sore throat, sneezing, cough, fever, chills, runny nose, wheezing, headache, ear pain or infection, chest soreness, and nausea and vomiting. So I don't know how many calls I've had in the last almost 10 days with those symptoms. People have got it all over the place. Let's look at what Dr. Kelly says again. He says, a less serious version of the virus, respiratory syncytium virus, or RSV, will usually involve a lasting cough and flu-like symptoms. And this is what most people are showing up with. So according to Dr. Kelly, what they're seeing in Massachusetts is 80% of the kids with walking pneumonia develop a virus as a result of first having the RSV, and then 20% are attributed to a bacterial version, and then those folks are treated with an antibiotic like Z-Pak. Well, let's just talk about the pneumonia vaccine. What do you suppose, is that going to be helpful? Let's take a vote. Let's see. What do you think? Think the pneumonia vaccine is going to help?
No.
No, yeah.
Well, a pneumonia vaccine called Prenvar, or Prendir, used in the United States is primarily a streptococcus pneumonia bacteria, a strep bacteria. So according to Scientific Medicine, the vaccine cannot prevent all cases or types of pneumonia, and the vaccine is advertised as lowering the chances of catching pneumonia. Therefore, you can still get pneumonia after you get the vaccine. And people who are more vulnerable to getting pneumonia are the ones that are most encouraged to get the vaccine. So those would be people with weaker immune systems, diabetics, heart disease patients, asthma and emphysema patients, patients with HIV/AIDS, organ transplant patients, cancer chemo patients, smokers, and the reason smokers is you have these hairs inside your lungs, and they're designed to filter out pathogens, and they tend to get damaged because of smoking, and so they don't have that protection. Also, heavy drinkers, which will lower your white blood cell count, and also post-trauma patients, which are trying to heal from injuries. So there are two pneumonia vaccines. One is supposed to protect you from 13 bacterial types of pneumonia called PCV13, and the other vaccine is supposed to protect you from 23 types of pneumonias called the PPSV23. And medicine often prescribes both of these vaccines to patients, and usually it's given once with maybe a booster in some cases. And the symptoms reported after getting the vaccine are fever, of course, tenderness, redness, swelling at the injection site, irritability, flu symptoms, loss of appetite, sore muscles, and allergic reactions that are considered rare. So let's just look what's in this thing that they're injecting into you. And basically, the ingredient list on this vaccine is not something you would like to see on your dinner plate. Heavy metals are also not healthy for the human body, especially your neurological system and brain. So what's in this vaccine is 2.0 milligrams of polysaccharide, which is cellulose sugar molecule, from 14 serotypes, strains of microorganisms or bacteria and viruses. Then they have 4 milligrams of polysaccharide cellulose sugar molecule from 6B serotype pneumonia strains. They have 30 milligrams of what is called CRM197. It's a carrier protein, which is genetically modified diphtheria toxin used as a carrier protein in vaccines for strep, influenza, meningitis, and pneumonia pathogens. They have 1.55 milligrams of L-histidine, a positively charged amino acid that is used in the biosynthesis of the proteins. They have 1 milligram of polysorbate 20 as a stabilizer, 4.5 milligrams of sodium chloride, and 125 milligrams of aluminum phosphate, which is your adjuvant, your heavy metal. That's what's in this shot.
What is the aluminum doing? What does it do in a drug?
Yeah, that's vaccine? An adjuvant. That's what they call an adjuvant. And medicine says adjuvants help stimulate your immune system. It rouses the immune system to react to the serum and make an antibody. But that's not been proven. That's just what they say. Let's look at research, what it says about the shot. Now, this is scientific research. This is from basically medical science. The scientific research has been reporting for some time that the pneumonia vaccines are not effective as they're advertised. Here is Oxford Academic, July 2010. They said there is a debate surrounding the effectiveness of the 23-valent pneumococcal polysaccharide vaccine called PVV. Oxford Academic did this study, and they followed 2,950 patients over the age of 60 for almost 4 years after they got the pneumonia vaccine, and they found that the vaccine did not prevent pneumonia infections or death by pneumonia. So according to Oxford Academic, they said one half of the patients discharged from the hospital after pneumonia died or are subsequently rehospitalized with a vaccine-preventable infection within 5 years. So they say the vaccine was not associated with a reduced risk of death or hospitalization. We think better pneumococcal vaccination strategies are urgently needed, end of quote. So it appears that at least one version of your pneumonia vaccine, the PBV-SV23, not highly effective at preventing pneumonia. In fact, the report from Oxford Academic stated the vaccine does not reduce the risk of death or hospitalization from pneumonia, especially for patients previously hospitalized who had pneumonia or for the high-risk patient group. So the Oxford Academic report confirmed that what the National Library of Medicine and Biotechnology Center reported in 2008, And in addition, they stated that the vaccine used in other countries, such as sub-Saharan regions of Africa, also are not effective. Here's what the National Library of Medicine Biotechnology Center said, and it wound up in the Journal of Vaccine in 2004. They said, according to the WHO data, the pneumococcal conjugate vaccine, PVC-13, is ineffective, and it's an ineffective instrument for pneumonia prevention in children. And there is also an increased incidence in asthma, which will deter the use of the vaccine, especially in children. So there's the second vaccine for pneumonia. One was adult, one was for the child group. Both of them being said by science, they don't work. So these are two scientific reports stating that each version of the pneumonia vaccine, not effective. We have several reports stating pneumonia vaccine is essentially useless in the prevention of pneumonia infection, hospitalization, and death for young and old. Yet, for 20 years, the vaccines are still recommended and used in modern medicine. Patients are told the vaccine can help them avoid pneumonia illness and death when the truth is it doesn't. So let's consider the reasons why. Out-of-pocket pneumonia vaccines cost $200 to $250. That's $200 to $250. Health insurance usually does cover the entire cost of that vaccine. 65% of the United States adults age 65 to 74 years get the pneumonia vaccine. That's 33.1 million people. 75% of U.S. adults 75 years and older get the vaccine. That's 22,874 people. 82% of U.S. children get the pneumonia vaccine. That's 15 million. So using just the low group of $200 per vaccine, the pneumonia shot pays the vaccine manufacturer for the children's pneumonia shot $3 billion, for the 75 years and older group $4.6 million, and for the 65 to 74 age group $6.6 billion. So we're talking about roughly $10 billion is the reason the pneumonia vaccines are promoted and sold in the United States population. And that net earning doesn't even, it gets higher when you consider the global use of the pneumonia vaccine. Money answereth all things.
You got it. Can I tell you what happened with me some years ago? I had a doctor on the radio program. In fact, he was the head of the hospital. And I didn't have time to, I was way back. I wasn't feeling good. I was really under the weather, but I didn't have any time to get a replacement, someone to sit in for me. And so he was with me, and we went to the radio station, and he could hear that my breathing. And he takes me right into the kitchen there at the radio station, and got my shirt off. I'm sitting there, and he's checking my lungs. And he said, I had double pneumonia. And he said, if you're not going to take care of yourself, then I'm going to hospitalize you because, you are very, very sick. But here's what he told me. He said, you got two options. You could go to the hospital, you can get antibiotics and stay in there for a week, and you start getting over it. Or you could go home, go to bed without the antibiotics for a week, and you should get over it. And so, in other words, he was telling me that the antibiotics really aren't going to do me any good at all, okay?
And probably had a viral pneumonia is what he's saying, because antibiotics only tend to address bacterial infection.
Yeah, well, I it was pretty bad, and I did, and it did take me every bit of a week to get over it. But
I'm sure. Well, yeah. Let's talk about avoiding pneumonia for a minute, because avoiding pneumonia, well, it's not going to be 100% preventable, but there are ways to naturally reduce the likelihood of getting it. In other words, during your outbreaks, you want to avoid crowds, like Pastor Joe just mentioned. Also, you want to reduce or avoid refined sugar because it lowers your immunity and resistance. Also, asthmatics out there should avoid cow's milk products, including butter, because it creates mucus in the system. Also, wash your hands frequently after you touch or, maybe transmission surfaces, like we talked about, door handles, shopping carts, gas pumps, service counters. Avoid eating out or getting takeout during the cold and flu season, because people that work in those areas show up sick to work. If you ever worked in a fast food place or takeout place, they go to work. Also, use immune system support supplements often, and reduce your or avoid dehydration beverages, caffeine, and alcohol, because you know the body needs the fluids in order to flush out the infection. Also, we mentioned air travel. Be aware that the transmission surfaces there are quite profound. So, and there are some pneumonia herbs, because we're going to run out of time here in a minute, Pastor. Lovely herbal supplements out there can help the body recover from pneumonia or even heighten your resistance to it. Now, I like a combination of echinacea root, Siberian ginseng, garlic, and Parda arco inobark. So this is a combination that helps the body, gives it energy, and helps your immune system kill the infection. Now, for congestion, I like to use the herb lobelia. It's going to be a natural expectorant, helps loosen the mucus and helps you cough it up. Now, you can go to the powerherbs.com website because they do have a pneumonia kit with those formulas in it. I also sometimes layer in thyme tincture. It helps rest the cough if you have a cough so you can get a better sleep. Sleep's important for healing. I layer in sometimes taifu oil to disinfect the airway and shrink swollen passages. So there's lots of things you can do, and these are herbs God provided us. Herbs are here for the service of man, the healing of the nations. And there's a lot more there at thepowerherbs.com as far as immune support. They got pandemic kits and things. And I know we should also talk at some time in the future about the whooping cough is on the rise and what people can do for that, Pastor.
All right. We need to do that. I know that I promised I'd let you go after the first hour because you've been working pretty hard. But
Well, I also want to tell people we're in the middle of our winter sale. It ends the end of December, but it's a 25% off. So if they're thinking about stocking up on things, this is a good time to do it. They can also call in an order or get a catalog. The number is 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. And our new catalog, Pastor? Supposed to be here the end of December, so I'll send you a new copy when it gets here.
Very good. And folks out there, let me tell you, I can't think of anything but besides God's Word, the Bible here, better than send than the pneumonia kit. She's got this pneumonia kit, which is really good to have. It's what God has given us, the natural herbs. And she has instructions in there, too, on how to use it. And so what a great Christmas gift. If people called you tomorrow, would you have time to get it to them before Christmas?
Oh, definitely, yeah. We usually send stuff out priority mail. That's 2 to 3 days ground. Of course, if we're moving closer to a holiday, if they need it before the holiday, we can always expedite that.
All right, very good. All right, young lady, you did.
Yes. Always great to be with you and the show and the listeners.
It's always good to have you.
Sure is. Like to wish you a merry, merry Christmas. If for some reason we don't talk to you again,
yeah,
we'll probably catch up after the holiday, won't we?
Yeah, we will.
Sure
but let me give that phone number out again. 866. That's 866-229-3663, folks. That's to give Wendy a call or thepowerherbs.com. And so, again, I want to thank you again. You always enlighten us and. We always go away better educated every time we have you on the program.
Oh, yeah. So sweet. Well, you know that thyme tincture to help calm the cough? Do you know they use that for tuberculosis? It has an inhibitor for the tuberculosis. And tuberculosis is on the rise in the United States because of all the immigrants coming in. So people need to, you know, think about things, what they can use to do.
We're out of time, young lady. So
all right. Take care now.
God bless you. Have a blessed Christmas. If I don't talk to you before then, I probably will, but God bless you, and we'll see you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. We will be back right after this. Don't go away. More to come.
Fight the fire.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to WRWL.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio,
4465. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.
Ah, ho, ho, ho.
Hey, what's wrong, Santa?
Well, it's these elves. The new ones all feel entitled. They don't want to work their way up the ladder. In fact, they hardly want to work at all. Then there's those social justice elves. They keep pointing out everyone's differences, dividing the elves and getting them all riled up. And don't get me started about the reindeer rights elves. The shop floor just isn't the happy little place it used to be.
We should have used Red Balloon.
That's right, Santa. RedBalloon.work is America's woke-free job board. Every day, we help good companies find reliable, motivated job seekers without all the woke nonsense. And our new Red Balloon Recruiter Service is turning traditional corporate recruiting on its head, delivering high-quality employees for a fraction of the price. Give yourself a Christmas gift and post your jobs on RedBalloon.work today. And use promo code SALEM to get 10% off your first month's job posting, because life's too short for a bad hire.